Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and welcome to this Friday Tipping Postcast. I'm Maddie Playle, joined in the studio by Paul Keighley. We've also got David Jennings on the line and Sam Harley back from back in La Trobe, tipping him as well in the Irish Derby. So welcome back, Sam. Keel's been an excellent 24 hours for you, courtesy of winning the Race and Post table tennis competition. I wasn't here to witness it, so I'm quite sad about that.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good night, bit of fun inside. I mean, you should have seen the state of me. I mean, look at the size of me. Look like I walked out of the shower fully clothed by the time we finished, but it was a good laugh.
And DJ, you're not having this. You reckon that you'd take Keel's any day?
Yeah, it's funny, Maddie. Unfortunately, the competition was in the London office, and I'm based in Dublin, and Racing Post Finance would not pay for my flight over to beat Keels in the final. But the funny thing is, right, I'm good at two things in life, which are, it's quite remarkable, because there's no
just
point
two
in being...
Just two things.
Just two things.
Like,
well, I have nice teeth. I have very nice teeth. That's my best feature. And the two things in life I'm good at are running backwards, so hiking backwards. So sometimes we do football training, and the manager might say, right, lads, run to one line and then hike backwards. So I'm really quick at that, which you mightn't think.
Is that useful, though?
No, it's pointless. No. And the other thing, which is very pointless, is I'm exceptionally good at table tennis. So when we went on holidays, to foreign holidays when I was younger, I used to be in a kids' club and, you know, in Spain, and there'd be little table tennis competitions. But the other kids were... I was vastly superior to them. So I used to have to play in all the adult competitions when I was, like... between 7, 8, 9, 10, but I used to win all the adult competitions. So the only thing I'm good at is table tennis, which Patrick Mullins, the jockey, will vouch for, because I played him at the Open meeting in Cheltenham last year and whipped his ass. So I'm calling on Paddy Power. Sam, get on to Paddy and get him to price up. We'll do it for charity, Keels, a table tennis match between yourself and yourself.
That would be done.
Exceptional. Sam, you only good
you
at the
old... You have to get your ass over here, though, DJ. There's a table in the office, you know.
Yeah, but why should you have home advantage?
Sam, any good at table tennis?
No, absolutely useless.
Well, you and me both then, we can just watch. Anyway, let's talk about some horses, shall we? Sandown, the Coral Eclipse at 2:10, Group 1 race. Now, Saxon Warrior, happily, two horses perhaps we weren't totally expecting to be in the lineup, but they've helped enhance the race, of course. But what do you reckon of this three-year-old crop, Keels? Because usually this is a race where... You know, a lot of the time it's won by older horses. I think 7 of the last 10 have been won by older horses. But this year, three-year-olds seem to hold the key.
Yeah, it's funny. And normally, you know, you need a really, really good derby to win it as well. Mm. You know, talking Nashwan, Golden Horn, See the Stars, those sort of horses. And lots of plenty of derby winners in recent seasons have got beat. And I'd put Massar behind all of them. The only problem is there are no really top quality older horses in the race either. So, you know, it's a fascinating race. I don't think it's the highest quality Eclipse we've seen by any stretch of the imagination. I can't have Saxon Warrior at all. If he really wanted 10 furlongs, he'd have travelled better than he did for longer than he did at the Curra, wouldn't he? Because he was actually being asked to close down well before 2 furlongs out, and you know, it's not like he breezed up to them and then
didn't
stay.
Why do you think they're running here? What's the
Because it's a winnable race at the end of the day. I don't think I don't think the standard's particularly high. I know we've got a Derby winner in the field and Roaring Lion the third. Out of all of those, I actually expect, and I know Roaring Lion has finished behind Massar 3 times, I'd expect him to beat those this time, because I think 10 furlongs on fast ground is exactly what he wants. And I do think, you know, I thought he was a bit of a loony, and he was, you know, he had no chance of coping with Epsom, but he actually ran his most professional race to date there. And I think, you know, if there's a horse that's going to grow up and continue to improve, it'd be him. But I'm going to take a chance on one of the older horses, even though they really shouldn't be, really shouldn't be good enough to win. And that's Forest Ranger. I mean, just because he's won his 2 starts this year, he's won both of them in fairly commanding fashion. He needs to step up by some way. To win anyway, but I'm going to back him each way. He's 16-1 now that Saxon Warrior's in the race, and I don't even make Saxon Warrior a player, to be honest.
Okay. Sam, have you seen much attention towards Saxon Warrior since it's been revealed that this is the plan?
Yeah, so obviously happily drifted out in the market on the back of it. Donica's taken Saxon Warrior as it looks the first choice of the two. But I think Mazar's been quite weak on the front end. He was sort of 5-4, 11-8 until Saxon Warrior was put in, so he's also drifted out.
Can we have a full roll call of the market?
Yeah, so just before I call those out, I might just mention the money back special that we're running. We're going money back all losers if Mazar wins the Carl Eclipse tomorrow.
Okay.
For a max free bet of up to €10.
Excellent.
And so it could be worth having an each way poke at one of the outsiders. So we have Mazar in at the front end at 7-4, Roaring Lion 5-2, Saxon Warrior 11-4, Happily 13-2, Forest Ranger 16-1, and 25-1 bar.
Brilliant. And who would your selection in the race be?
So I think, yeah, I agree with Paul. The jury's out for the crop of 3-year-old colts, just sort of muddling form lines. And I was sort of thinking on the same lines with Forest Ranger. He's done nothing wrong this year. He won the Group 2 Huxley Stakes at Chester and a Group 3 at Newmarket. I'd say in the camp, this has always been the plan, and preparations have gone well. And I just think at 16-1, he could be the value each way with the 8 runners.
Mm. He's certainly improving, and it's interesting that he's sort of had a break and now he's coming back. DJ, you can usually give us the inside scoop on this sort of thing. What was the vibes after Saxon Warrior's Irish Derby bid?
I have no idea, Maddie, actually, to be honest with you, on this occasion.
Letting
I think it
us
was
down.
Just, I know, I think it was just pure disappointment. And, like, Tom Siegel was on your show earlier on in the week, and he thought it was the worst derby he'd ever seen. Now, I know, like myself, Tom is slightly prone to exaggeration often. And with Saxon Warrior, like, I just thought there was absolutely no excuses. And it stinks of desperation, really, here, running him here 7 days on. Like, he might well win it, and everybody will say, what a genius Aidan O'Brien is. And the thing is, I think he does keep them relatively fresh. I don't think he does a lot between race to race. So I doubt Saxon Warrior would have done anything this week, if you know what I mean. And I think that's the case. So, like, the race being 7 days ago wouldn't put me off as much as the fact that, you know, it just looks like desperation. Like, would he have ran in this race if he won the Irish Derby? No. Mm. And the funny thing about Saxon Warrior is, and I know this makes it doesn't make any difference now whatsoever, but you just wonder if after he won the Guineas, he would have won the Irish 2000 Guineas, because Roman Eyes won that, and I think he would have won it. I think he would have won the St. James's Palace Stakes, because I think he would have beaten Without Parole, and we'd be talking about this unbeaten, incredible miler, and the fact that they've stepped up and trip and trying to win the Derby is backfired. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The horse that I think will win, and I'm pretty confident, is Roaring Lion. I just think he's an out-and-out 10 furlong horse. I thought it was interesting after the Dante, all the talk, straight away John Gosden, Matt Chapman come up to him, Derby, 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 and you just got the vibes from Gosden that in the back of his head, he's thinking, this is an out-and-out 10 furlong horse.
He didn't really want to run at Epsom, did he? There was some debate whether he was going to go.
They were thinking France, and there's only one Derby every year, and it looked a winnable Derby. And I know they thought probably we have to reverse the form from Newmarket with Saxon Warrior. But I don't blame him from running the Derby. But I'll make a shout here. I think if the Derby was over 10 furlongs at Epsom, I think Roaring Lion would have won it. I think Oisin Murphy had to ride this horse differently at Epsom. Because when the tempo increased turning for home, he was the one that travelled best into it. Now, I know Massar won quite easily, and Paul will probably say that's bullshit. Massar would have won over any trip. But I just think the way the horse was ridden, I think he can ride this horse with so much more confidence over 10 furlongs, because you've got that, you know he's got that turn of foot from the Dante. And, like, he's ran once right-handed with a bend, and that was at Kempton when he won his maiden by 6 lengths. And he took the bend beautifully for a horse that's got quirks. He did drift left in the closing stages. But I'm not sure if drifting left in the closing stages at Sandown is as bad as we might think. I often think the horses that are on the rail often get swallowed up. I don't know if it's the best of the ground right on the rail. If he does drift, I don't think it's the end of the world. I think he's the best 10 furlong horse in the world. And I know, Paul, you think that the 3-year-olds are poor, but I think the 4-year-olds are worse. I think Forest Ranger has plenty to prove. I really do.
He does. He does. He's at that sort of price where you can tell that he has plenty to prove.
Of course he is. Yeah.
I'm going to take a chance that the 3-year-olds really aren't that good at all. But other than that, I agree with you, Roaring Lion, all the way.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of 7-2 out there, and maybe 130. I think Roaring Lion will prove himself to be the best 10 furlong horse.
Okay, moving on to the 1220 Coral Charger Group 3. This race has produced its fair share of quality sprinters, Batash and Brando, the last two winners. I'm not sure necessarily if there's one in that sort of league this time around. How do they bet, Sam?
So we have Muthmere at the front of the market at 3-1. We've Judicial and Different League at 9-2. We've Hadaf 13-2, Dream of Dreams 7-1, and Mr. Lupton 9-1 and 10-1 bar.
Okay, now DJ, you go back to different leagues, Albany form, and she beat Alpha Centauri. What's happened?
Yeah, what's happened? Yeah, she's joined Aidan O'Brien and it's gone downhill rapidly. Mm. I don't think we say that very often. I thought she ran quite well actually in the King Stand. She finished sixth. I think she was beaten five lengths. I thought she ran fine. And you just wonder with these fillies, it's funny, Aidan can just start to get a tune out of them at various stages and she has to have her chance, but I think Judicial will win this. I think Judicial would have won at Haydock had the gaps opened. Mm-hmm. Do you know, you can just completely put a line through that race because nothing happened. I thought everything went right from Muthmere at Haydock, and he still only won by a short head from Alpha Delfini. I think there's 10 runners in this. Judicial, the key to Judicial seems to be smaller fields. I think most of his wins have been in smaller fields. I think he'll just about get away with it here, and I just think he's a better horse than Muthmere, and I think he is the value in this, so I'm going to go for Judicial.
You'll be hoping for a good trip. Keels, what are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Judicial, you know, I lumped on Judicial at Haydock, and, you know, I was worried about the size of the field, and I'm worried about it again, because obviously everybody's going to want to be on that far rail, and it's one of those that it could get a bit messy. There's not a huge amount
always
of pace.
Always count over this sort of trip.
And there's not a huge amount of early pace over this, in this field either, which just makes me wonder whether there would be a lot there. But the more I look at it, I look at a horse called Cody Time. Now, if you remember the Scurry Stakes of a couple of weeks ago, the anti-post market for that, Cody Time was 2-1. Mm-hmm. I think Hadaf was something like 14s. Hadaf won the race. Cody Time even went off at 3-1 favourite despite getting stall 10 of 10. Mm. And he missed a kick there. And you can just write that. You can write that race off.
Yeah.
But what made Cody Time a strong favourite for that race still stands here. He was fast progressing, running really, really well. And I think now he's got a draw in stall two. He may just be able to track. I'm assuming Sound and Silence might be the one that goes on early. And he should be able to track somewhere close to that rail. And I think he's got to have a big chance, or a better chance, I think he's about 12-1 or something, isn't he? I just think that's a big price.
Yeah, purely a price thing there. Sam, any thoughts on the Coral Charge?
Yes, I agree with the guys. I think I'd be keen to take on Muthmere at the front of the market. You got a toe into the race behind the Ventura, behind Alpha Delfini, and sort of made hard work of going past him. Mm. So it wouldn't be for me at the price. Just one that caught my eye at Ascot was Mr. Lupton, each way 9-1. Ran a good race and what looked to be a decent renewal of the Wokingham with the highly touted Dreamfield just getting beaten, which was a sore point for a lot of punters. Mm-hmm. Before that, he won a handicap at York off top weight, and I just think if there's a strong pace, it could pick them off late, but I wouldn't be a strong opinion.
Mm. Always loved that horse, Mr. Lupton. Muthmere, he's a bit of a quirky devil, isn't he? So can certainly understand people wanting to abandon him. Moving on to the 12:55, the Coral Challenge handicap. Sam, take it away with a roll call of betting for us.
So we have Dara Prince at 13-2, Puvar Magic 7-1, Escobar, Original Choice, Via Serendipity, and Chief of Chiefs all at 8-1, and Tigre de Terre 8-1, and then South Seas and Raising Sands at 10-1 and 14-1 bar.
Mm. Now, Key, it was an interesting little race, this. I said to you beforehand, I really fancied one. Who are you going for?
Earlier in the week, I went for Manson, the five-year-old. He's probably more exposed than most, but he's well handicapped on his Sandown form. I think the four best turf races of his life in Britain have all come at Sandown. He was a close fifth in this race last year off a slightly higher mark, about a £3 higher mark. And he ran really well when second to Via Serendipity here. He actually finished his race out stronger than Chief of Chiefs, who's half his price. Mm. I think he's still a fair bit of value. The other one I was most interested in was Pouvoir Magique, who looked really good when winning first time up. Then
that horse we both liked for the Victoria
exactly,
Cup, that
for
never
the Victoria
ran.
Club, yeah. Never ran, and then went off odds on in a race at Newcastle. What's the story? He was fourth in the Hunt Cup afterwards.
Yeah. And
was odds on, but ran no sort of race. But he went very, very keenly to post that day. And the vet actually had a look at him before the race, deemed him fit to run, and then said he was lame afterwards. So that run can be wiped out, and the horse has still got a lot of potential off a mark of 94.
Okay. DJ, what about you? This is an interesting little race, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The one that I was praying all week would run and would get a decent draw, and it, both things have happened. It runs and it's got a good draw. The one I fancy is Tigre de Thayer.
Oh, gosh. That's the one I liked.
Oh, sorry, Maddie. No,
I'm not the one doing the tipping today, but yeah, I love Tigre de Thayer. Go on, take
like,
it away.
Is this like when a girl comes out with the same outfit as you and you're like, oh, will I change? I think Tigre de Thayer is well handicapped off 98. Even on a line through cross batting, when the two of them met, I was so sweet on Tigre de Thayer when it clashed with cross batting at Kempton. I think it was in late March, and I just thought this horse couldn't be beaten, and it was beaten close home by cross batting. It's now rated 105, I think. It got good to firm ground at Rip, and it ran in a novice race. It was a boat race. It was shocking, but it just glided across the turf that day at Rip, and I thought it handled the ground well. Went to Maison Lafitte and was a bit unlucky. It bumped into a horse of
running,
Andre Fast,
isn't it, on Sunday? I think in the Cascadian.
Now I'd say it was a decent race because they pulled 8 lengths clear of the third, and even the likes of Young Fire, who had decent previous form, I think was well beaten in fifth. But Gregory Benoit rode Tigre de Thayer, and he just tried to turn it into a real test that day over a mile, because I think they think Tigre de Thayer stays further. And went a nice few lengths clear, maybe two out, and then was collared close home by what I think is a decent horse in Cascadian. Drawn in 5, rated 98. I think he's got probably £5 in hand. Whether that's enough to win a race of this calibre, I'm not sure. I could see the life of Chief of Chiefs has drawn 3. I think he'll run well off 90. Love Sandown got a bad ride from James Doyle last time. I think, though, Tigre de Thayer is the unexposed 3-year-old who is going to get better. And I just think if he can just scamper a couple of lengths clear off the home turn, I don't think they'll catch him. I think 8-1 each way, Tigre de Thayer is very fair.
Totally
that
agree.
That rhymes.
Yeah.
8-1, Tigre de Thayer. What did I say again?
If you can't remember, shut up.
8-1 each way, Tigre de Thayer is very fair. Yeah, there we go.
Superb. And of course, we'll be able to see if that Cascadian, I mean, he did win very easily when he beat Tigre de Thayer, so it'd be interesting to see how he does upped in class as well. I think he could really run well in that race. We'll give the final say to Sam.
Yeah, so I'm not going to disagree with David, I think. He's the one for me. Even just looking back at his 2-year-old form at the tail end of last season, finished a good second to Tip to Win, who went on to come second in 2000 guineas this year. And he was also third, only beaten 3/4 of a length by Mildenberger last year.
Yeah.
So all his 2-year-old forms worked out very well. So 98 looks a lenient mark. And then just again, that Cascadian's actually been declared for the Group 1 pre-jump Pratt.
Have you got any prices on that?
I do, yeah. I can call them out, yeah.
This is me just being purely selfish.
Yeah, so I'll call them out now. So we've Almedo at 6-5, Gustav Klimt 7-4, Hegemann 5-1, Wusol 10-1, Cascadian 10-1, Intelligent 16-1, and Ancient Spirit 33-1.
Kiehl's DJ, any thoughts on that race quickly?
No, none at all, really, other than it's winnable, so don't be surprised if there is an upset. Almedo, Gustav Klimt, and all that, are they?
Okay, DJ?
Not a clue.
Not a clue. Okay, purely selfish that was. Sam, so you're going with Tigre de Thayer as well. That's 3 votes for him. Moving on to the Coral Distaff at 1:30. There's a really interesting horse in this called Norella, who used to be trained by Marcus Klug, unbeaten in her first 2 runs and then was, I think, last in the Marcel Boussac. So be interesting to see how she runs. The market support has been fairly good for her, hasn't it, Sam?
Yeah, we have her the short favourite at 11-8. We then have Desert Diamond 6-1. We've Awesome Tank and Gavota both at 13-2. Preening 7-1 and Defede 10-1 and 12-1 bar.
Excellent. DJ, I'll go to you first. Anything catch your eye in this race?
What catches my eye most is the way Paddy Power have priced this up, because they go 11-8, Norella, and Ladbrokes are 9-4. So they're obviously very, very keen on Norella. And perhaps they know something that we don't. I just thought in the Marcel Boussac, she actually travelled quite well. Like, I know if it says last of 7, beaten 7.25 lengths. But like, if you stop the tape 2 out, you kind of go, she's going to get into this. And then she didn't. I'd say she's pretty useful. The horse that I thought, or the filly that I thought would have a decent season this season, but the rails have, it's gone off the rails, is Gavota. It was very disappointing last time at Carlisle. It was a funny sort of race. Kieran Schumark rode, and she just looked like she was creeping into it, and then gone. So I just wonder, she hadn't ran since the third week in April where she was disappointing.
She was a classic, you know, a classic hope at one point last season, wasn't she? She's a two-year-old.
She also ran that infamous race where I vowed to buy Paul Keighley pints for the rest of his life if Dan's dream won.
I've only had one of those.
She owes me big time, Gavata. But I don't know. I'll
tell you what, I'll let you out of that if you beat me at table tennis.
There we go. The saga continues.
Yeah, so doubles are quits on table tennis. I'll take that. Yeah, but I think, she's done me no favours this season. I just think she has the potential to return. If she returned to any type of form, even beating the neck by Alton Alda, if she returned to that form, she'd have a cracking chance. But look, I've been waffling on here. I haven't a clue what's going to win the 130.
You're too much like Watsy. You're too loyal. These horses, you off the cliff you go. Keels.
I mean, this Nuella is just the typical horse I would oppose. Hasn't run since a two-year-old, new trainer, never run on fast ground.
Questions to answer, hasn't
Questions to answer, yeah. It's one of those that I tend to take on, and then, of course, they bolt up, and I've done my money, but I will take a one. And I just think Aidan O'Brien's Broadway is pretty interesting here at a double-figure price. She ran in the... she wasn't unbacked in the Sandringham last time, and she was under the cosh, but she was actually responding to it, and then she ran up the backside of a couple, and it was eased straight away. I'd forgive that run at all. She was third to Lightning Quick a couple of starts ago, and then absolutely hacked up in a fast ground maiden. I think she will enjoy both trip and ground, and is an each way price in a race that, you know, none of them stand out apart from the Fab.
Okay, Sam, anything to add finally?
Yeah, so I'll take on Nuella as well. I just think there's plenty of questions to answer coming back off such a long break. And the one that I chose was Preening of James Fanshawe's. She was last seen winning a filly's handicap off a mark of 83 on top weight over course and distance. And just this filly by Dutch Art could well be on an upward curve. And has only once been out of the first three, and that was on debut. So if she continues on an upward curve, I think she's a big price, 7-1 each way.
Okay, brilliant. Anything else at Sandown on Saturday, Keels?
I can't think. I just thought Platitude. I know his best form is now both runs at Goodwood, but you know, his first run after a wind operation for Amanda Perrott, having been with Sir Michael Stout. He was a really, really promising stayer as a three-year-old. Mm-hmm. Didn't go right for him in last year, so he'd come back with Amanda Perrott, and I thought he won really nicely from Top Tug last time, and he might just be good enough to take on those older stayers.
Which race is that in?
That is a 3:20, the Coral Marathon.
Excellent, thank you very much. Platitude for Keels. DJ, anything else that Sandown catch your eye?
Yeah, and I'm taking on Paul, not at table tennis, but in the 3:20 at Sandown. I think, now, I could be proven wrong here, I'm going to put that in first, but I think Hijinx looks a reformed character since he went over hurdles. I think he got a little bit stale, and he'd obviously had so many races. He's a 10-year-old now, and I just think hurdling has really enhanced his enthusiasm. And like the race he won at Aintree, like it was just like he was completely in a different league to those. Now, obviously, it was a novice hurdle in the middle of June, and there's not going to be anything outstanding in the race. But even at Kelso the time before, it wasn't the worst novice hurdle you'd ever see at Kelso, and he just made mince meat of them. He just looks to have so much enthusiasm, and like he's racing with loads of enthusiasm now. I think he could have turned a corner. I know he's turned many a corner during his career, but I think there's a bit of 6-1 available, and I'm willing to take a chance that he's back to his old form, and I think that's very fair. I'd be very happy to take on Platitude with Hijinx.
Interesting campaign that. I think is he a Group 1 winner in France? Or he's won a Group 2 or something?
He's won group races in France for sure, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Now, the ground is a worry, but I thought the ground was quick enough at Aintree when he won. So
Flat, fast ground will be a lot faster though, won't it? Surely.
Yeah, Aintree was quick now, I thought. But if you go back, I think he was second in the pre-Royal Oak to that joke of Marco Botti's. So he's got decent form. That was on soft ground. But I just think he's turned a corner, or turned his newest corner.
Back for Haydock after this.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to this Friday Tipping Postcast. Now, Sam Harley's got some news for us. Sam, what offer have you got?
Yeah, so we're trialling a new initiative this weekend, and it's going to be a guaranteed minimum lay to lose for the Sandown and Haydock meeting all races. So the initiative guarantees a bet to win €500 to any customer, and the initiative will apply from 10 a.m. on the day that the event is scheduled to start, and will apply to single and win bets only.
Okay, so we mentioned Haydock. Let's crack on with it then. The 12:35 Bet365 handicap. Ghost Watch for Godolphin here looks likely to be one of the market leaders. Won really easily at Sandown last time. Kiehl's, what are your thoughts on this race?
Yeah, it's interesting. Ghost Watch did win really easily last time, but the second and third were thumped even further by Rude Awakening next time. And Ghost Watch is still favourite in the market. Obviously, being a Godolphin horse, it's like, you know, everyone expects it to make loads and loads of improvement. But, you know, basically, I think both those horses beat moderate horses that aren't particularly well handicapped.
I think Ghost Watch, he got a particularly good ride as well.
Yeah. And you know, so I take the pair of them on, and I think the one that is really, really interesting is his Making Miracles, because he ran at Royal Ascot in a handicap that was won by stablemate Baghdad, and he was right out the back, miles out the back turn of a home, and he ended up coming through, finishing seventh. He was really going on strong at the end. He liked the trip. Now, he had run Baghdad to a short head earlier in the season when they raced against each other, and I bet there isn't that much between them at all, and he's now £6 lower than that. And I think on this Haydock long straight will suit him down to the ground, and I think he'll take a fair bit of beam.
Okay, DJ?
Couldn't agree more. Making Miracles of a big circle around it here. Like, he's running off 91 here. Baghdad is rated 97. I think, as Paul said, I think they're very, very similar. You know, I think it's their ant and deck, really. They're pretty similar. And I just thought with Baghdad, lost its position. It's with a couple of horses, like Thomas Hobson was similar when he ran at Royal Ascot. If you do lose your position at a certain stage at Ascot, it's so hard to make up ground, just say, from the 4 furlong pole to the 2 furlong pole, and then they obviously spread out. And I just thought he lost his ground at a crucial stage, especially for a Mark Johnson horse. And like, if you go into that last furlong, like, he was eating up the ground. I think he was value for finishing much closer than he did. And I don't know, I think 11-2 is very fair.
Okay, Sam, just clarify the prices we can get.
Yeah, so we have Ghost Watch at the top of the market at 3-1, Rude Awakening 4-1, Making Miracles 5-1, Austrian School 15-2, Diocletian 8-1, Sexy Beast 10-1, and 14-1 bar.
And are you in agreement with the lads on Making Miracles?
I'm actually going to go with the other Mark Johnson horse, Austrian School. I just think if you can ignore his last two starts when he was slightly disappointing, favourite each time. If you look back to his third last run when he beat Ghost Watch by 5.5 lengths, conceding £3 to him that day, and on the way to tomorrow, Austrian School is only conceding £2 to Ghost Watch. And I just think Ghost Watch is at the head of the market due to the Godolphin blue colours and Charlie Appleby factor. I just think there's too big a difference in the price there. So at 15-2, I'd have Austrian School each way.
Okie dokie, moving on to the 110 Bet365 Lancashire Oaks. Horseplay, she was second to Coronet last time. Coronet's very, very nearly won the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud on her last start, so she's sure to be popular. Kiehl's, it's a bit of an open race, this one, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's open enough. I wouldn't argue with Horseplay being favoured, though. I think she's the one that's going to be hard to beat. That run against Coronet was really, really good, and she's perfectly entitled to improve again, because it was her first run of the season. I don't think she's got any problems with the ground. I think she'll like the trip. And I know God Given got away with fast ground here last time, but I'm not sure that she'll do it again, especially in a slightly better race as well. I would go for Horseplay.
Okay, nice and simple. Horseplay for Kiehl's. DJ, are you in agreement?
Yeah, I think she should be shorter. I think she should be a rock-solid favourite. We had a big argument in the office here earlier. A few of the lads in here were staying loyal to the homes, to our home patch, and they were fancying Flattering. Mm-hmm. And they're on at bigger prices than she is now. But I just think that run behind Coronet is better than anything Flattering has produced so far. Mm-hmm. I know she was fifth in the Oaks, but I just think with Horseplay, I think she's just crying out for a mile and a half. Like, against Coronet, like, she travelled as well as anything to the three pole, but from the three pole to the one pole, she just didn't have that kind of natural instant acceleration. Mm-hmm. And then she plugged on again, and like, the form of that has worked out well. Like, Smart Call was very impressive last Friday night at Newcastle, and she beat Smart Call convincingly there. I think that was a good race. You know, Coronet obviously came out and was the moral winner of the race. I was sure she was up last weekend. Mm. And I just think... And the fact that she's had such a light campaign towards the end of last season, I think she only ran once on Champions Day at Ascot. She's only ran once this season. I don't think she's a filly that takes a lot of racing. Mm. And I think she's been cleverly mapped out. I think the long home straight in Haydock will suit her. And
She has disappointed in the past, though, hasn't she? She's thrown in some bad runs. Does that worry you?
Yeah, well, she has. The bad runs, though, were at a pretty high level, a better level than this. She ran against Hydrangea, obviously, in the Group 1 fillies and mares race at Ascot. Like, she was fourth in the Oaks behind Enable. Like, mm-hmm. she hasn't disappointed that much. She hasn't had that much racing. And the key thing here, which is far more important than any form or anything, is that when Paul Keighley tips a favourite, they generally win.
Enough said. Sam,
the opposite is true. I think you're fine.
No, it's not.
What price are you on Horseplay?
So, yeah, we've Horseplay 11-4 at the front of the market. Then we've Flattering 3-1. God Given 10-3. Precious Ram Otsway 5-1. Mississippi 6-1. Euro Nightmare 20-1. And Snowy Winter 40-1.
All in on Horseplay then for the lads. 1.45 Bet365 Old Newton Cup handicap sees the return of last year's King George V Stakes winner, Atty Purse. He's been gelded. Of any interest, Keels, or again, is it another case of, you know, hyped up and he's back from a break?
Well, it's funny. I wouldn't say he's hyped up. I mean, he's got a very, very good record fresh and he does look very, very good when he's in form. Mm. I mean, he's obviously got to recover from a bad run.
He's got that Frankel factor as well. Everyone loves that, don't they?
Yeah, of course they do. And of course, Roger Charlton is in absolutely flying form. And I want to take the horse on because he's at the front end of the market, and so I tend to do. And I'm going to take him on with the other Roger Charlton horse, Blakeney Point. Now, he's obviously got to run the race of his life to win this off top weight, but I thought he really ran really well behind Mirage Dancer and Eugenio at Goodwood on his return. He was third, he got disqualified, placed fourth, but I thought it was a perfectly respectable first run of the season. He ran in this race last season off a £10 lower mark, and he just could not get a run at any point up the straight. I think they go hard here. You know, he's got negatives as well. He's drawn a stall 16, although we have had two or three high drawn winners in the last few years. And he's got a £7 claimer, Harry Burns, on, so it's a big day for him. But if he gets the brakes and they go hard enough, I think he'll be in the frame, and he's a nice double figure price.
Okay, Sam, what price can we get on Blakeney Point and the rest of them?
So Blakeney Point's 10-1, and then just going back to the front of the market, we've Atty Purse 10-3, we've Teodoro and Golden Wolf 15-2, they're both Crowned Eagle 8-1, Across the Stars 9-1, and then Sophia's Rock and Atkinson Grimshaw 12-1. And 14-1 bar.
Okay, what do you make of the race?
I quite like Golden Wolf.
That horse that never
Richard
manages
Hughes
to win.
And Nicola Kerr, yeah. So I just think the form in a second to Dash of Spice on a second last run, albeit beaten six lengths, has worked out very well with Dash of Spice going on to win the Duke of Edinburgh at Ascot in scintillating fashion. Just watching it back, that race, he wasn't given a hard time. Once he was beaten, Dash of Spice drew clear. But he was ahead of the third and fourth by a good distance. Mm-hmm. And I just think, he's been very unlucky not to get his head in front, having been placed all of his last eight runs and only winning once. And just Nicola Curry will take off a valuable £3. That'll be the one I'd go each way.
Yeah, I hope Golden Wolf can finally get his head in front. DJ, thoughts on the Old Newton Cup?
It's like, God forbid, but it's like I'm in Paul Keighley's brain at the moment. The two horses that I... Maybe it's the table tennis thing, I don't know. The two horses that I have this completely narrowed down to are Atty Purse, I don't know which is right, and Blakeley Point. I was really interested to see that Harry Burns was booked for this Blakeley Point because I was really impressed with him. I think two of his last six rides have won. He rode Rock Icon at Bath last week, and... I was so impressed. Like, he made the running, but he stacked them all up behind, and then he kicked two out. And he rode another horse for Roger Charlton at Wetherby. Mm-hmm. And again, looked really, really stylish.
Well, that's good. Nice to get some positive jockey thoughts.
Yeah,
new lads coming through.
I think he's good. And cracking name, Harry Burns. He sounds like he's a cool dude. And I think
that's what you're on these podcasts for, DJ.
Yeah. But my worry with Blakeley Point, like, I would say Atty Purse is a better horse than Blakeley Point. certainly has the potential to be. He's Adi Percé is rated £6 lower. Spencer, I think, should get on quite well with him. He's never ridden him before. Like, he won first time out last year. He won first time out his maiden the year before. He's only £6 higher than the mark he won the King George V at Royal Ascot last year off, and he bolted up that day by three lengths. I just think he's the potential to be the best horse in the race, and he's not top weight. He's getting £6 from the top weight. Well, he's not officially because Harry Byrne's taken off £7, but I think he's rated £6 lower. I think he's a better horse. He's a short price favourite in a big field handicap, so you should be taking him on, but I think he's the most likely winner. I think the play here is to back Adi Percé and then back Blakely Point each way. I think he could collect twice.
Okay, so go for them both. I'm going to ban you guys from talking about table tennis anymore. I know I brought it up, but we're going to be in danger of talking more about that than we are the racing. We'll let Sam talk about Nace now to get your bets from elsewhere on Saturday. Sam, take it away.
Yes, yeah, so just one that caught my eye in the declarations this morning. It was in the 4 o'clock at Nace tomorrow. A horse called Rattling Jewel, who's moved yard from Nicole McKenna to Joseph O'Brien this year. Obviously the trainer in flying form. The second at the Kerr last time out, he's dropped a pound since then and was actually rated 90 this time last year and is now rated 75, so he's dropped massively in the weights. My only concern would be that his best form would be on soft ground, but I think this looks a very poor race and he'd be my tip for Nace tomorrow.
Thank you very much. DJ, I'll let you go before Keels, so you know, you're not in his brain too early on this time around.
Yeah, no, he definitely won't be tipping this horse anyway, that's for sure. There's an absolute rogue running in the 6:20 at Bellewstown, but I think this rogue might actually have his moment. Vineyard, trained by Gordon Elliott, ridden by Dennis O'Regan. Now, this is an absolute rogue. He's off a mark of 125. I think if ever there was a track made for a horse, it's Bellewstown and Vineyard. Needs to be delivered as late as possible, but I think they might just ride him a little bit more prominently this time. Gordon's horses are backfiring on all cylinders, and it's probably the weakest handicap he's contesting a while. He's been contesting all them big field handicaps, you know, even ran in the Ladbroke at, or is it the what's the race before
Betfair Hurdle,
Christmas?
Isn't it?
Yeah, Betfair Hurdle, yeah. And has been travelling quite well in them, but just doesn't have the class to get home. So I thought if ever there was to be his day, it would be this day. And just one other one in the, what race is it? It is the 7:20 at Bellewstown, the handicap hurdle. I thought Bally Brownie Jack could be quite well handicapped off a mark of 109 for Joseph O'Brien and JJ Slevin. So they'd be my two at Bellewstown.
Thank you very much. Keels, other Saturday bets?
I can't say. I really can't say I've got anything. I mean, obviously, we're all getting keyed up for the football. So I've just sort of focused on Sandown and Haydock. There is a horse called Meshadale running in the 6:40 at Nottingham. I'm kind of hoping I'll be too drunk by then to remember backing it because it's costing me a fortune. But it will be winning at some point. But, you know, I will miss it when it happens. So maybe that'll be tomorrow.
Okay, it's Saturday nap time now.
This will not be beaten.
I still want the longer version to be on there. Not that short version. That was epic. Keels, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, I like Making Miracles in the 12:35 at Haydock.
Sam Harley.
So the guy stole my thunder a bit earlier on, but Horseplay in the Lancashire Oaks, I think, is my nap for tomorrow. And maybe next best would be Far Stranger in the Carl Eclipse each way.
Good luck. And DJ?
The funny thing is, I fancy both Making Miracles and Horseplay and would happily go for either of them. But my nap is Roaring Lion in the 2:10 at Sandown in the Carl Eclipse to prove that he's the best 10 furlong horse around.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. TNCs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, welcome back to this Friday Tipping Postcast. We've talked about Saturday's racing, but now we're going to go to Fairy House and the 3:30 Irish Stallion Farms EBF Brownstown Stakes. Could It Be Love looks the big name here. Third in the Jersey Stakes last time for Aidan O'Brien. Sam, presumably she's pretty solid at the top of the market.
Yeah, so we actually don't have this priced up just yet,
okay.
Due to the declarations, but I'll just call out the runners. So you have Lincoln Rocks for David O'Mara. You have Zenobia for Will Farrell. You've Lightning Quick for Johnny Mercer. Could It Be Love for Aidan O'Brien. Dame's Fly for Joseph O'Brien. Hence for Aidan O'Brien. And Wisdom Mind for Joseph O'Brien. And the notable booking would be Donica on Could It Be Love. And I'd imagine she'll be very short at the front of the market.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we can pretty much guarantee that she'd be the favourite. Keels, what did you make of her running the Jersey? Because for 1 minute, it looked like she'd slipped the field and that was that. But she got clawed back late on.
Yeah, it was a cracker. don't know how much they've taken out of her, because that was a real sort of lung-bursting run over 7 furlongs, wasn't it? Mm. I think she'll be hard to beat. I'd love to see Lincoln Rock come back to some form, because she was one of my favourite horses. He was really, really...
Bless you, DJ.
Was really, really consistent, and she seems to have lost it on her last 2 starts. I think she'd be a danger if she came to her best. But
she was ridden a bit bizarrely last time, wasn't she? They wanted to hold her up in
the
Duke
they tried
of
to hold her up, just didn't work. Like, no. You know what I mean? I think she wants to be ridden on or around a pace, and anyway, I'm sure they'll go back to doing that. But she does need to bounce back now, because that's 2 runs in the spin that haven't been great.
Okay, DJ.
Yeah, Could It Be Love in the jersey, like, I'll get ridiculed for this, no doubt, but obviously Roy Moore is the best jockey in the world. Obviously he's possibly one of the greatest flat jockeys we'll ever see. But that said, he did give some horses poor rides at Ascot, which he probably didn't get as much criticism as he should. The 3 horses in particular that he thought he gave bad rides to were Could It Be Love, Thomas Hobson, and Sergei Prokofiev. Mm-hmm. Both the 3 of those now did get really poor rides, and if lesser jockeys did ride them, they would have got criticism. Could It Be Love, like, what he did there, I thought was...
It was similar to what he did, what the jockey did in the Irish Guineas, wasn't it? Just very, very hard, very soon.
Yeah, now, maybe it's just a case that... maybe it's just a case that that's the way she needs to be ridden. And even when she won her maiden at Dundalk, which, incredibly, she was 4-1 for a desperate maiden, but at that time she was only rated 75 after 3 runs last season. Maybe that's the way she needs to be ridden, but it just seemed to me like... he was travelling so well, like, to kick on when he did at Ascot. It's a very hard thing to do. It's a long way from the 2 furlong pole. And as Keel said there, that race must have taken a lot out of her. Like, it had to have taken a lot out of her, because she was out on her feet at the line. Mm. Her run behind Alpha Centauri in the Guineas is obviously an incredible run now. But I have my doubts. I just worry about that run in the jersey. If there was a track made for a horse, I've said this already, obviously, about tracks made for horses, but... Fairy House is made for Lincoln Rocks. Drawn and stall 1. It's very, very tight. And there could be a pace duel on here between Could It Be Love and Lincoln Rocks. And I just wonder, because she had such a hard race in the jersey, will they maybe try and get a lead on Could It Be Love this time? And if that's the case, Lincoln Rocks could lead from stall 1. And it's a track they can get away. It's very, very tight. There's a few ridges in the home straight. If you do get away, Lincoln Rocks could be the play here. Maybe without Could It Be Love, but... I might just take a chance on Lincoln Rock straight, as Paul said, because if she does get away, she could just be hard to catch.
Okay. Sam, I'll go over to you for the final thoughts on the Brownstown Stakes.
Yeah, so I think I'd be happy with Could It Be Love. I just thought her run in the jersey was credible, the pace they went up front, and I just think she's rated £8 clear of the rest of the field, and I can't see her being beaten.
Okay, Sam thinks she's going to come through. The classiest horse in the race is going to win. Simple. Anything else at Fairy House or indeed on Sunday? I'll give you free rein on this one. DJ, I'll go to you first this time.
Okay, in the... what time is the race now? I know Bruce is stickler for times. In the 4 o'clock at 4 o'clock at Fairy House, there's a horse called... I better get the name of this right now. There's a horse called... Caldbeck that ran, I thought, quite well first time out for Gordon Elliott. It was beaten by Loving a Boom, who's a stable companion, and I just thought it stayed on really nicely in the closing stage. It was beaten a long way in the end, but he's gelded already. He's a 3-year-old by Dark Angel, but I just thought there was loads of improvement to come when he stepped up in trip. He's up a furlong, and he's running against Shalanga of Dermot Wells, who's rated 85, who will probably be good enough, but I just thought Caldbeck each way maybe, and that might run well.
Okay, Sam, I'll go to you next. Anything else at Fairy House or on Sunday?
I have nothing for Sunday. I might just come back to an interesting one this evening in Ballystown that we saw some money for this morning at 5 o'clock, actually owned by Joe Smith, the head of Irish Rugby. There's a horse called Cosmic Horizon. Mm-hmm. He's very well back this morning from 3-1 into around 15-8 now, so that could be an interesting one to follow.
Indeed. Kiels?
I struggled. I don't think, you know, given it's a day when there's no World Cup football on, it would have been great to have some decent racing on. And it's not brilliant. I think Courtney Ladd might steal an easy lead in the 2 o'clock at Ayr, but he hasn't won for ages. But that's the only one I'd go for. But it looks like I'm cutting the grass.
Okay, we're preparing for the World Cup. So a timely reminder that our World Cup postcast featuring a preview of the 4 quarterfinals is out now. Make sure you watch that. And of course, if you enjoy these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe to them on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes or any other platform you're listening to us on. And with anticipation in the air for DJ and Kiehl's table tennis match. I'm sure we need to get this organised. Sam needs to get it priced up from Paddy Power. We'll leave you on that note.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.